Your check, your cooperative. As a farmer-owned lender, Farm Credit Mid-America shares the success of the cooperative with our customers, which is why we've returned more than $1.25 billion back to our customer owners over the last 8 years. It's proof being a part of our cooperative pays. Patronage is an annual decision made by the board of directors to return earnings to eligible customers. To learn more about patronage and eligibility, visit fcma.com/patronage.
I've always liked games, but I never imagined one could turn into a nightmare. It all started with Andrew, a guy who had been my friend for years. He was obsessed with Squid Games. He didn't just like the show, he lived it. Every conversation revolved around it. He knew every rule, every strategy, every detail. At first, it was amusing, but over time, it became unsettling. On weekends, we would get together to drink and play video games. But Andrew always tried to introduce some version of Squid Game into the mix. It wasn't a joke to him. He took it seriously. He said that one day he would organize his own version. We thought he was just an overenthusiastic fan, but no one gave it much thought. But as time went on, things started getting weird. Andrew stopped talking about anything else. His social media was filled with Squid Game posts. He shared theories, strategies, and talked about the real experience. He even started buying equipment, not just decorations, but real things. Uniforms, airsoft guns, even a mask like the ones worn by the guards in the show. He looked ridiculous wearing it, but no one dared to tell him. What unsettled me the most was how he looked at us when he talked about the game, like he was analyzing our reactions, like he was planning something. We had gone out drinking. At the table were Jake, Lisa, Mark, and me. Andrew arrived late with a different expression. He wasn't his usual self. He looked serious, like something was tormenting him. He sat down and started talking about how he was disappointed in all of us. He said we were fake, that we never supported him. Lisa told him he was overreacting. "It's just a show, Andrew. You can't live inside it." That only made him angrier. He stood up and invited us to his house. He said he wanted to fix things. We were drunk and honestly, just wanted to keep the party going. No one thought it was a bad idea, but it was. When we arrived, he took us to the basement. I had never seen that place before. The walls were decorated with Squid Game posters. In one corner, a table full of firearms. We laughed nervously, thinking it was a joke. Until Andrew grabbed a hunting rifle and pointed it at us. We froze. No one moved. Andrew smiled, his grip tightening on his rifle. He said we had a chance. We could leave the house, but only if we played red light, green light. Lisa tried to reason with him, stepping forward hesitantly. "Andrew, this isn't funny. Just put the gun down, man." Andrew's face twisted in anger. He cocked the rifle. Red light, green light. Mark, the bravest of us, refused to play. He scoffed and took a step toward the door. "This is insane. I'm leaving." The gunshot was deafening in the enclosed space. Mark collapsed to the floor, a crimson stain growing beneath him. Lisa screamed and rushed to him, hands pressing against his chest as if she could stop the bleeding. Her breathing was frantic, her face pale. Andrew's face was almost sing-song. "Red light, green light." Lisa turned her head, eyes wide in terror. She barely had time to react before another shot rang out. Her body slumped over Mark's. Jake and I stood motionless, breath caught in our throats. Andrew's gaze settled on us. He grinned, tilting his head slightly. "See? It's easy. Just follow the rules." Jake and I exchanged glances. There was no way out. Our only option was to play along. My hands trembled at my sides. My legs felt heavy, like they were filled with lead. Andrew gestured impatiently. "Come on, the game isn't over yet." We obeyed. Step by step, we moved when he allowed it, freezing when he commanded us to stop. My heart pounded violently in my chest. Every muscle in my body ached from the tension. Jake's breathing was shallow, his eyes darting between Andrew and the exit. The game felt endless. The basement stretched on forever. The air smelled of gunpowder and blood. We were close to the far wall. Just a few more steps. Then what? Would he let us go? Andrew frowned. He wasn't satisfied. He wanted more. He stepped forward suddenly and pushed Jake. You moved.
No, please, no.
He pulled the trigger. The shot echoed in the room. Jake's knees buckled as he crumpled to the ground. My stomach lurched. My knees felt weak, but I couldn't fall. I couldn't move. Andrew turned to me, a twisted smile stretching across his face. I always liked you. You were cool with me. His words sent a chill down my spine. His grip on the rifle loosened slightly. For a moment, just a moment, I saw hesitation. He turned his back and it began singing again. This was my chance. My legs moved before my brain could process it. I sprinted toward the basement stairs, heart hammering in my chest. Andrew's voice followed me.
Red light!
I ignored him. My body slammed into the door, fumbling at the handle. A gunshot rang out behind me. Splinters flew past my face. I didn't stop. I couldn't stop. I tore through the house, feet barely touching the floor. I reached the door and yanked it open. The night air was cold, sharp against my skin. I kept running, not daring to look back. Another shot, but it wasn't for me. I turned my head, just enough to see Andrew standing in the doorway, the rifle pressed against his own chin. His face was calm. His lips moved one final time. Green light. The shot echoed through the empty streets. When the police arrived, they found the bodies. They counted the shell casings. Everything was clear. Andrew had been planning this for months. He had turned his house into his own personal squid game. I was the only survivor. The nightmares won't stop. I close my eyes and still hear his voice. Red light, green light, and the gunshots. Always the gunshots. I don't know when I'll be able to sleep again.
Hey guys, we noticed that only a small portion of you are subscribed to the channel. If you really enjoy our stories, please follow us and like the video. It's free and it really helps us a lot to keep growing. We upload videos daily and interact a lot with our community, as we upload stories that you recommend us, and once a month, we upload your own stories. And to those of you who are already subscribed, we appreciate all your likes, comments, and your constant support. You are as much a part of SSG Animations as we are. And now, back to the video.
I've always been a huge fan of Mr. Beast. Who isn't? The guy gives away millions, makes insane challenges, and changes people's lives. So when I got an email from him inviting me to participate in a real-life squid game for a massive cash prize, I didn't even hesitate. The email looked official. It had a Mr. Beast logo, a personalized invitation, and even a link to a private video where he explained that this was going to be his biggest project yet. The best part, it was completely safe. No violence, no danger, just an exciting game for YouTube. The location was disclosed, only after confirming my participation. I packed a bag and flew out the next day. The instructions led me to a private airstrip where other contestants were already waiting. They all looked excited, some even recording themselves, probably thinking this was the moment that'd go viral. A private bus took us deep into a countryside where a massive fenced-off property awaited. Everything was organized, professional, just like in his videos. When we got off the bus, a man in a dark blue jumpsuit and a mask resembling Mr. Beast stood in front of us. His voice was distorted through a speaker.
Welcome to Squid Games. Let's have some fun.
Something was off. For starters, why was his voice distorted? Mr. Beast never did that. And where were the cameras? Usually, there would be a whole production crew, drones flying around, and a bunch of his friends hyping up the challenge. But here, there were only men in jumpsuits standing silently in the distance. One of the contestants, a guy named Daniel, raised his hand.
Hey, where's the real Mr. Beast?
The masked man didn't answer. Instead, he clapped his hands and the men behind him moved forward.
First game, hide and seek. You hide, we seek.
They handed out timers strapped to our wrists. We had exactly 10 minutes to hide in the vast open field. Some scattered immediately. Others, like me, hesitated. I kept looking around for cameras, expecting Jimmy to pop out and reveal that this was all an elaborated prank. But no one came. A loud buzzer rang. The countdown had begun. I ran. There was nothing but tall grass and a few scattered trees, but I ran anyway. The timer on my wrist ticked down. 8 minutes. 7. 6. I found a small dip in the ground and I dropped, covering myself with dry grass. We heard a gunfire. I froze. Then I heard it again. A short burst followed by a scream. My heart pounded as I peeked out. In the distance, a guy lying in the grass, motionless. A man in a jumpsuit stood over him, holding a rifle. This wasn't a joke. This wasn't a game. Panic spread fast. People screamed. Some ran blindly towards the fence. The moment they touched it, their bodies convulsed violently, dropping like ragdolls. The fence was electrified. The men kept moving, hunting. Every time a shot rang, another scream followed. I clenched my teeth and I stayed low, barely breathing. The timer on my wrist hit 0. The buzzer sounded again.
Game over.
The men stopped shooting. Some of them began dragging the bodies away, while others escorted the survivors back to the main area. I didn't move. My heart pounded so hard I thought they could hear it. One of the masked men walked towards my hiding spot. I held my breath. He stepped closer, scanning the ground. I saw his finger hovering over the trigger. He looked away for a second and I bolted. Shots fired behind me. The ground exploded in a small burst as bullets hit. I zigzagged running towards the tree. My leg burnt, but I kept on pushing. A sharp pain went through my arm. I was hit. It wasn't deep, but it burnt. I reached the trees and dove behind the thick trunk. The gunfire stopped. They weren't following. I pressed my hand against my wound. Blood spread all over my fingers. And a whistle ran out.
Next game will start soon.
Night fell. I stayed hidden in the trees while the remaining contestants were forced into a large warehouse. The lights were turned off. And for a while, everything was silent. Then the screaming started. I don't know what they were doing in there, but it was way worse than the gunfire. People begged, cried, and then silence. I needed to get out. The fence was electrified and there was no clear way to escape. I stayed low, crawling through the trees. I found another contestant, a woman, hiding behind a bush. Her leg was bleeding. We have to move.
There's no way out.
We'll find one. We crawled through the darkness, avoiding the men patrolling. The warehouse doors opened again, and they dragged out the bodies. I clenched my jaw. I wasn't going to die here. So we waited until the guards left, then sprinted towards the far end of the property. There was another fence, smaller than the first. I grabbed the rock and hurled it. No sparks. It wasn't electrified. I helped her climb. She groaned as she pulled herself over. My turn. I gripped the top when a spotlight hit me. A guard shouted. I jumped as a shot ran out. My body slammed into the ground. Pain shot through my legs, but I ran. Others saw us escaping. More followed. Gunfire erupted as they chased us. Some didn't make it. The woman and I ran into the road. A truck approached. We waved desperately until it stopped.
We need help! Please! Please let us in!
The driver hesitated, but eventually let us in. As we sped away, I looked back at the property. The masked man simply stood there, watching us go. They weren't worried. We went to the police, told them everything. They took our statements and they said they'd investigate. Days passed. Nothing happened. No news. No headline. It was like it never happened. Then, the video arrived. A link sent to my email. I clicked it. It was a video of us playing the games. Except it was edited like a Mr. Beast video. Sound effects, dramatic cuts, fake reactions. But there was one thing different. At the end, the masked man removed his disguise. It wasn't Mr. Beast. It was a stranger. A voice spoke out over the video.
Thank you for playing. The viewers in our little site in the dark web loved it.
The video ended. My hands trembled. I checked the URL. It wasn't YouTube. It was a private site. We weren't a part of a Mr. Beast challenge. We were a part of something else. Something dark. And people had been watching this whole time.
My name is Jennifer. I was never a fan of survival games or competition shows, but when Squid Game became famous, my boyfriend Nathan became completely obsessed. At first, it seemed harmless. Everyone was talking about the show, so it was normal for him to like it, but his interest wasn't admiration. It was something else. He watched the episodes over and over. He memorized every dialogue, every scene. He got excited explaining strategies he would use if he were in the game. I just nodded, letting him talk. It wasn't unusual for him to get obsessed with something for a while. I thought he would get bored soon. But he didn't. Weeks passed, and he kept talking about the same thing. Then came the first sign that this was going too far. The cookies. He decided he wanted to master the Dalgona cookie game. He bought molds, sugar, baking soda. He made cookies all day. I laughed at his effort, but I didn't think much of it. I wish I had. I wish I had seen what was coming before everything spiraled out of control. Nathan didn't just practice. He became fanatical. He spent hours perfecting the technique, but it was never enough. He attempted the most difficult shapes and failed over and over. This frustrated him. He slammed the table, threw the molds. His room became filled with broken cookies, crumbs stuck to the floor, and dirty plates. I told him to calm down, that it was just a game, but he ignored me. His mother, whom he lived with, was fed up. She stormed into his room, yelling at him to clean up, to stop acting crazy. Nathan didn't respond. He just kept going. One night when I visited him, I noticed his room smelled rotten. Bugs crawled around the decaying piles of cookie debris. His mother finally had enough and threw him out. I thought that would make him realize how absurd this was, but instead, he became even stranger. I talked to him after he moved into his own apartment. I told him this was ridiculous, that in the show, people only succeeded because their lives depended on it. It was just a joke. But Nathan went silent. He looked at me with an expression I'd never seen before, as if he had just realized something. After that day, I didn't hear from him for hours. He didn't answer messages or calls. I figured he just needed time. But in the middle of the night, I got a message. Something about that message made me feel sick. I went immediately. When I arrived, the door was slightly open. I pushed it and stepped inside. The smell hit me instantly. It reeked of iron, of blood. The floor was covered in broken cookies, but that wasn't all. Dark stains were smeared across the walls and floor. I kept walking, and then I saw them. Nathan's mother, his father, his sister, lying on the ground, lifeless. And in the middle of it all, Nathan, standing, holding a gun, he smiled at me. "You were wrong, Jenny. Not even in extreme situations does this work." I stepped back, but Nathan raised the gun. I froze. There was no way out. "You're going to play with me." He threw a cookie and a needle at me. I had to carve out the shape without breaking it. My hands trembled. I tried to focus, but the fear made me clumsy. Nathan watched me with eerie calmness. He wasn't nervous or angry. He was just waiting. My fingers were slick with sweat as I traced the outline. I had to be careful. One wrong move and it would all be over. Nathan's breathing was steady, almost mechanical, as he loomed over me. My vision blurred from the stress, but I forced myself to keep going. I barely heard the ticking of the clock in the background, each second reminding me that I was on borrowed time. I carefully traced the lines, but a small piece cracked. I covered it with my hand and looked up. "I did it." Nathan leaned in to check. The moment he got close, I drove the broken cookie into his eyes with all my strength. Nathan screamed and dropped the gun. He fired wildly as he stumbled backward. I ran. Bullets ricocheted off the walls. The sound of each shot thundered in my ears. I reached the door and bolted without looking back. I ran until my legs gave out. I could hear his footsteps crashing behind me, erratic and desperate. He wasn't aiming anymore, just shooting, blind and furious. A bullet shattered a picture frame inches from my head. My pulse pounded as I pushed forward, heart hammering against my ribs. The stairs were in sight. If I could just make it outside, I had a chance. A final shot rang out. I felt the wind of the bullet as it zipped past my ear, missing me by mere inches. I lunged for the door and flung it open, diving onto the pavement outside. I scrambled up and kept running, my breath ragged, my legs burning. Behind me, I could still hear his hoarse screaming, but I didn't stop. Nathan didn't try to run. When the police arrived, he was still in the house, trying to make another cookie. He was covered in blood, blind, but he kept going. He didn't resist when they arrested him. Even as they dragged him out, his hands kept moving as if he were still tracing the shape, his fingers twitching in midair. The officers exchanged uneasy glances, but said nothing. They didn't need to. The horror of what they were witnessing spoke for itself. Reports said he showed no remorse. He only spoke about how the game wasn't real, how no matter what he did, he would never get it right. He asked for more ingredients, more sugar, more baking soda. When they refused, he fell into silence, staring at his hands like they no longer belonged to him. The doctors later said he was in a dissociative state, lost in his own world. But I knew better. He wasn't lost. He was trapped. Trapped in the game he had created for himself, a game that had consumed everything. I haven't seen him since. I don't want to. But sometimes when I close my eyes, I see his expression at the end. Not fear, not rage, just resignation. I'll never understand why he took his obsession that far.
Prescription products require completion of an online medication consultation with an independent healthcare provider through the LifeMD platform and are only available if prescribed. Subscription required. Individual results may vary. Additional restrictions apply at LifeMD.com. Read all warnings before using GLP-1s. Side effects may include a risk of thyroid C-cell tumors. Do not use GLP-1s if you or your family have a history of thyroid cancer.
Confused on where to start with weight loss medication? See the lowest prices available with or without insurance for Wegovy, Zepbound, and more at TryLifeMD.com. 95% of LifeMD patients said starting their weight loss journey was simple. Listen to Tara's story. After losing 42 pounds.
You just take your shot. It doesn't feel like you're on a diet. What I wasn't expecting it to do was to shut off the food noise. I had gone from 237 to 195. This was life-altering, and if I can do it, I feel like anybody can do it.
Get your free insurance benefits check in minutes right now at TryLifeMD.com. Nearly 96% of patients said they would recommend the LifeMD program to anyone who wants to lose weight. Get started right now at TryLifeMD.com. That's TryLifeMD.com.
If you're shopping while working, eating, or even listening to this podcast, then you know and love the thrill of a deal. But are you getting the deal and cash back? Rakuten shoppers do. They get the brands they love, savings, and cash back. And you can get it too. Start getting cash back at your favorite stores like Target, Nike, and Instacart. Stack sales on top of cash back and feel what it's like to know you're maximizing the savings. It's easy to use, and you can get your cash back sent to you through PayPal or check. The idea is simple. Stores pay Rakuten for sending them shoppers, and Rakuten shares the money with you as cash back. Download the free Rakuten app or go to Rakuten.com to start saving today. It's the most rewarding way to shop. That's Rakuten, Rakuten.com.
But I know I'll never underestimate a harmless obsession again.